Thank you. It is so good to have you join again in our Bible study as we continue now in the tremendous book, the Book of Revelation, the book that you just don't hear much about anymore in this modern day or this modern time that we live in, because we're in a day of modernism. We're in a time where the faith in the Bible has been diminished. And not only that, Satan doesn't want you to believe in the Book of Revelation, because you see, Genesis gives his sentence, and the Book of Revelation carries it out. Because you see in Revelation chapter 20, where we're going to be here shortly, the Word of God tells us over here concerning Satan in chapter 20, verse 10, "And the devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake fire and brimstone for the beast," that's the Antichrist, "and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Well, he doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to believe there is a hell, and he surely does not want you to believe in the book of Revelation, because it does describe his end, and the book of Revelation gives us a progression of prophecy clear out until the end of this earth, where God creates new heavens and a new earth. Now we're coming over here and beginning to find out here concerning, as we was on last week, what about the two garments? We have come on down now, and we're here to the 19th chapter in verse 7 and 8, and we find out here concerning the white robe, which is the righteousness of the saints. And as we've said, we have two robes. We have one, which is the tunic, which was the inner garment that Christ wore and also worn by the Greeks and the Romans. And the Greek word for that is chiton. It's spelled C-H-I-T-O-N, but it's pronounced chiton. And it's the inner garment. It was the less costly of the two garments. There was the outer garment that cost a lot more. But the inner garment here represents our salvation. And it goes along with being the less costly because of the fact that your salvation doesn't cost you anything. Salvation is free. It's absolutely free. It's given to you at nothing. Baptism will never give you salvation. Church membership will never give you salvation. Nothing will ever give you salvation. In fact, we want to take just a second here, and then we will go on and expound a little more on these two garments here. But we would like for you to take a minute here and go in your Bibles here and go back with us here to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 here in verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, to get an understanding here of exactly what salvation is. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 here in verse 21 tells us this. In verse 21 we read, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, that is, God hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us, that is, pay the penalty for our sin, who knew no sin," he was absolutely sinless, "that we might," that you and I, the Christian, "might be made the righteousness of God in him." How in the world can I be as righteous as God? Can I ever be? Not by my own works I cannot be. But what happens is, God takes the righteousness, his righteousness, being in Jesus Christ, and when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he marks my sin paid, completely paid for 2,000 years ago. We are told in the Bible that it is buried in the depths of the sea. It is removed as far as the east is from the west. In fact, if you go up here to verse 17, this is a positional truth. This is the inner garment. This is your salvation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That word in the Greek is creation. You're a brand new creation because you're now indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. This is not the way that you look at everything, because as you grow in your Christian life, you will find new things that you look at and discover new things through the Word of God. But this is how God looks upon you. He says, if you're in Christ, you're a brand new creation, brand new because God has now given you the Holy Spirit because it is promised unto you. And not because you pray for it, not because you seek it or you're hunting a gift of the speaking in tongues, so-called, but not that. Because the Holy Spirit's never giving because you do anything to get it other than believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ said, I will give you the Comforter, not until I'm gone. But the Comforter means another like himself, given since Christ left and went back to heaven. He will send us the Comforter, which is the third person of the Trinity, which is the Holy Spirit that lives within every believer. Therefore, we're brand new. We have something we've never had before. We have God in our life, in our minds. We have the Holy Spirit within us. And this is the conviction that the Holy Spirit seeks and does do to bring the Christian to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now we come here and find out old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. God says, I look upon you now. You're brand new. Let's start out together. And so sad, many Christians do not start out together. They start out in a backslidden condition, but it is God's will. We're a brand new creation now. We have the righteousness of God given to us or put to our account. What a wonderful salvation that is. And now we go on over here. Turn with me right on to the right in your Bible to Philippians here. Let's go here to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, we're found in him, not having mine own righteousness. We have so many people thinking because you have a good standing in the community, or you belong to some club, or you belong to some organization, and you're looked upon with high esteem in the community, this has some prestige with God. It has absolutely none. Absolutely none. You're totally deceived if you believe that. God says, you look at yourself as I look at you. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, God said, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But notice what he said, I'm found in him not having my own righteousness. And this is why Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The true Christian never boasts about him being better than someone else. Never under any circumstances. But I'm not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. That means there is a law, and if I try to obey all them laws, then I'm satisfied that I'm a very good person. But that's not it. But that which is through the faith of Christ, my faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So I have my righteousness given to me. I have Christ's righteousness placed to my account. As I place my faith to the account of Christ, he places his righteousness to the account of my name. What a wonderful Savior that we have, you see. Now, we find out here also, as we've said, it is the less costly of the two garments here because it costs the believer nothing but faith in what it cost Christ on the cross, you see. Now, as we come on down here, we come to another part of this. Let's notice and read in verse 7 and 8 here of the 19th chapter. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, that is the church. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. This here is called what the Greeks, the Romans, and Christ wore, the toga. And it was the outer garment worn by Christ and those at that particular time. This was the loose-fitting garment, you see. The Greek for that is spelled H-I-M-A-T-I-O-N. It was the most expensive. And it was also called a cloak. And this represents our practical righteousness or our service. Now, this outer robe will be made up of the Christian's faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. This robe, you'll be doing the weaving yourself. This is the robe of righteousness that is earned by the believer and given at the judgment seat of Christ. You see, when the rapture takes place, we go to heaven. And at there, we have the judgment seat of Christ that we're going to be judged for the things we've done in our life since we became a Christian now. And I'd like for you to go in your Bibles here, and let's go over here and look at this here. In 2 Corinthians, let's go here to chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians here in chapter 5 in verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, notice this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, for we must all, is not speaking about everyone saved and lost. This is talking to a Christian now, if you read this whole chapter. It's talking about a Christian, not a lost person. A Christian has to give account of himself and stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Get this now, as we go on, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So we're going to receive rewards or suffer loss of rewards. Now, when Paul wrote the first letter to Corinthians, if you'll go back with me here to 1 Corinthians here in chapter 3, Paul mentioned that about them. He reiterates it again here in the second letter that he wrote. But if we go back to 1 Corinthians, I'd like for you to notice in chapter 3 and in verse 8. Now, notice here. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. He's talking about planting the Word of God here. And another comes along and waters it by giving an additional testimony, maybe to a lost person, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Remember, when the Bible talks about rewards, it's talking about rewards never heaven. Heaven is never a reward. Heaven is a free gift. He's talking about rewards passed out after you are in heaven, after you received by faith the free gift, the payment that Christ made on the cross. Then you can earn rewards by dedicating yourself to Christ down here, winning other people to Christ, living the Christian life. Notice in verses 11 to 15. He says here in verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." Now, if any man or any Christian, he's only talking to a Christian here, we can build on this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, and that represents our good works. Or we can build wood, hay, or stubble. That means we become unfaithful, complacent. We don't care about the things anymore. It's spoken of in the Bible as, in the book of Revelation, you have lost your first love. Why have you lost your first love? Maybe your family has you tied up. Maybe you're living for your family instead of the Lord. Maybe you're living for just your earthly possessions instead of the Lord. Or maybe you haven't judged sin in your own life and you're really ashamed to come to church, or you're ashamed to go on and serve the Lord because you know that if you witness, people are not going to believe what you say. Whatever it might be, yet we find out the Bible teaches here we're going to have good works or we're going to have bad works. We're going to have works that are going to be as precious as gold, silver, and precious stones, or we're going to have works that are going to be burned up and we're going to suffer loss of reward. Now, as he goes up here, notice in verse 13, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it." That is the day of the judgment seat of Christ, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Well, fire is the trying of a man's work, showing the purity of it and showing that God is not going to turn to the left or to the right, but his judgment is pure. His judgment is right. He's not going to give you special privileges because you are the mayor of the town, or you're the president of the United States, or you're the governor of the state. It doesn't make any difference with God. He doesn't look upon your position you have in this little measly world. He looks upon what you're doing for him. That's what really counts. All the other things that you do, all the little petty positions that you hold, you may think are important, are really nothing with God. They don't amount to a thing. But who have you talked to about Jesus Christ? Who have you been a testimony to? Have you been a testimony to your children? Are you a testimony to them? Do you tell them the great things that God does? Do you teach them to pray? Do you teach them to, in their allowance, to tithe their money to the Lord and to show them how God works it out? Have you teach them to give to the Lord? Do you teach them the things that God wants you to teach them? In the Old Testament, he told Israel, he said, "You tell your children." When Joshua crossed the Jordan River there and they put the 12 stones in the river and then the 12 on the other side, he said, "Why are you doing this?" He said, "When your children ask what these stones are, you tell them because of the great deliverance that I have given you." Have you told your children what great things God's done for you? Have you told him about the trials he's brought you through? We go on up here now. And notice here in verse 14, "Now if any man's work," this is a Christian now, "abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." This is after we get to heaven. We don't go to heaven because of works. We go to heaven because of the grace of God, that he sent Christ to die, and we accept that by faith in Jesus Christ, that he paid for our sins. Then we're going to use our life for Christ. We hope that you will. Christ wants you to do that. If you're not, I don't know why you're not. There is no excuse that God accepts to excuse you for not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. There are not. Being a pastor for many, many years, I think I could write a book on the amount of excuses that people have given me why they do not come to church. It is unbelievable. Now, if you don't have a good church in your community, that's something else, because it's better for you not to go to church than to go to an apostate church. You've got to go and find a church where you can be fed, where that preacher teaches the Word of God, and he can feed your soul and have you excited by the Word of God. If there's no good church there, then there's no sense going. You know, you ought to pray that God get one in there. That's what you need to do. Then you're going to have to hold your own church at home to do it. I mean legitimately, not sit out under the oak tree there and shooting squirrels or something, or playing the flute. We're not talking about that. Oh, I can serve God. I heard that so many times. No, oh, I can serve God just sitting in the woods under a tree. And same people I've never seen go out in the woods and sit under a tree. And if they did, I don't believe they'd take the Bible with them, do you? But excuses, excuses, excuses. Everyone has excuses. Excuses is just like a rocking chair. You go back and forth, but you never move forward. You never go anywhere with excuses. You always stay in the same spot, or you digress, you go backwards. Excuses will never take you and make success out of you. It will only give you self-satisfaction temporarily while you go nowhere fast. You see, God doesn't care about your excuses. He cares about you, and excuses take you nowhere. Notice in verse 15, "Now if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Now, his works, he's saying, you know, you're saved. You put your faith in me, and I promise you eternal life. You'll never be lost. This is the outer garment that we're going to weave, because when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and he opens the books, and he looks at everything that we have done, we're going to suffer loss of reward on some things. We're going to be rewarded for other things. And in verse 14, "If any man's work abide, which he hath felt thereupon, he shall receive a reward." These rewards are going to make up in the weaving of the outer garment that we are going to wear. The inner garment represents our salvation, costs very little. The outer garment that was worn by Christ, the Greeks, and the Romans was a very, very expensive robe. This outer robe, as we've said, will make up of the Christian's faithfulness to his Savior. Now, just to show you this, we go back to the last book of the Bible, the book of Malachi, in chapter 3. We go back there in verse 16. God says, I've got a book back here, a book of remembrance. God remembers, if you're a Christian now, everything you do serving him, God has it written. Notice here in verse 16. "Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and he heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name." A book of remembrance. Now, you know something? If we go on back here to Revelation in chapter 20, in verse 12, do you know what? The Lord has a book of remembrance back here for the lost, so he'll know what degrees of punishment in hell for all eternity now, separated from God, but he has a record of everything a lost person has done. In verse 12, notice what it says. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in those books according to their works." You see, not to determine whether they go to heaven or hell, but to determine how much punishment in hell for all time and eternity. But now, to give you an example of this, I'd like for you to go in your Bibles now. And let's go back here to the Gospel of John. And you begin to see this here. The Gospel of John in chapter 19, I'd like for you to notice this. And we'll just sort of help bring this out a little bit on this inner and outer robe. The inner robe represents our salvation. Didn't cost much. Salvation's free. The outer robe, very costly robe there. And that's the robe you're going to make by your good works that you do and your faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 19 in verse 23, let's notice this. John chapter 19 verse 23, "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Christ, took his garments here, and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat." Now, this is interesting here, because if you'll check this here, you'll find out the word garments here is, they took his garments and made four parts. This is the outer garment. If you'll notice also here, his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. That's the inner garment, the less costly here. Isn't that amazing? They could not take that. You see, the outer garment was easily divided among the four soldiers, but they could not divide the inner, and that is the chiton coat. The chiton. Remember we said that when we started out? The Greek is chiton for coat, and it is the less costly, and they couldn't divide it without splitting it. Now, let's go back here to the Gospel of Matthew. Go back here to the Gospel of Matthew. If we're back here in Matthew chapter 5 and we find this, Matthew chapter 5, it'd pay you to look these words up in your Strong's Concordance here, and it'll help you a little bit better understanding of this. And here we have the two garments here. Notice here in Matthew chapter 5 in verse 40 here, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 40, "Now if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat," now the word coat there is chiton, it is the inner garment, "let him have thy cloak." Now the word cloak here is the outer garment. Let him have, if he's going to take your inner garment here, the least expensive, let him have your outer cloak also. And these are two Greek words for this. So give him your outer garment, also the most expensive. So if you look this up here, that's what you'll find. Now, while we're here, let's go over here to the book of Acts. And we're here in Acts chapter 9 and verse 39, where the woman Dorcas made coats. And you'll notice she made both kinds. In Acts chapter 9, you find out over here, look here in verse 39. Then Peter arose, and he went with them, and when he was come, they brought him unto the upper chamber, and all of the widows stood by him, and weeping and showing the coats. Here we have coats again. Coats is keton. That is the outer garment here. Keton. Okay, here we go. Now notice, and garments. Garments. Here we have the inner garment here, which Dorcas made while she was with them. So here was the lady here that made both of these and sold them to the ones there, you know. Now, notice here, and let's go to Matthew. Go back here to Matthew chapter 27, all right? Matthew chapter 27, here we go. One last look at this here. In Matthew chapter 27, we find here in verse 28 and 31. Matthew chapter 27, in verse here, 28 and 31. Here we go. In verse 28, the Bible says, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. Okay, notice in verse 31 now. In verse 31, after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his own raiment on him. Here, the Greek word raiment here, showing it is the outer garment, and led him away to be crucified. Yes, you're going to be weaving here for all time and eternity the outer garment here by what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ. You most assuredly are. You know what? The most important thing in your life here is the fact that you don't miss the boat. Yes, as a Christian, you ought to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have a good Bible teaching church in your area, you should be supporting that. You say, yes, but I don't want to go. You know, I've had my feelings hurt. You know what you're teaching your children? You're teaching your children to get their feelings hurt too. You're teaching them to pout just like you do. You're teaching them to be unfaithful just like you are. You're teaching them all of the bad habits, Mother and Daddy, that you're doing right now on a bunch of flimsy excuses that God does not accept. Now, when he gets fed up with that, you're going to look up and realize God may render his chastening hand, and there'll be nothing you can do, only wish you had made a proper decision, thrown away your excuses, and got supporting a church that preaches the Bible, that needs you, wants to use you, and you have outright rebelled against the Lord Jesus Christ. You see. You know, if we go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it tells us that Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. In closing here today, in the days of the flood, everyone perished except Noah and his household. That righteous man and his family were safe in the ark, but all others missed the boat. In spite of Noah's preaching, and notwithstanding the fact that they actually saw him constructing that great ship, the sinners of his day disregarded his warning and went right on in their unbelief. Noah had prepared that ark for 120 years, we're told. They failed to heed God's threat of coming judgment. Because of unbelief, they refused to meet the conditions for entry into the ark, and so they perished. Today, also, many are lost because they have not entered into the ark of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the door, and by me if any man enter, he shall be saved, in John chapter 10, verse 9. Even as God said to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. So the Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest, in Matthew 11, verse 28. The Bible says, whosoever will may come. Yet multitudes still reject the Savior and refuse to enter the ark of safety. They, like the men of Noah's day, will be lost because they have missed the boat. Jesus warns, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Matthew chapter 24. If you've never received the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, why not just bow your head right now? You really don't even have to bow your head. Say something like this, Lord Jesus, I believe all that the Bible says about you, and I believe what it says about me, that I recognize that I'm a sinner and I could never save myself. But knowing that you died on that cross and you shed your blood for me, I receive you right now as my Savior, and I trust you alone for my salvation. And if you do that, friend, you won't miss the boat. We pray that you'll come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he's shown us the way. Here in our midst, He's standing today, tenderly saying, come. And we hope that you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We hope that you will. And you know, if maybe you're one, and may I just say this. I remember the first time I ever heard this in the song. It said this. It said, I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were also weary up on the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. So lift up your cross and follow close to me. We hope that if you're listening, you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd like to take a minute here and remind you the time of our services, Sunday morning from 10 o'clock to 11. We'd love to invite you to worship with us Sunday evening at 7 o'clock till 8. Our youth group begins at 7 o'clock till 8:30 or 9 on Thursdays. We'd love to invite you to come. If you've never taken time to write, please drop us a line. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Until next week at the same time, may the Lord richly bless you as we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.